Before I get going, I want to ask you this question. How many of y'all feel like you've seen the Lord this week in a lot of different ways? At your house, here at the church, out in the community. It's kind of hard to miss him, isn't it? If you're looking around. I think this is the most catastrophic situation that I personally ever been through, and that's including COVID. COVID, we could at least call each other and talk on the phone without harming each other, you know. But you know, the Lord got us through that. The Lord got us through a bunch of other things together, and that's what he does. And y'all know it. I know it. The question is how many people out there in the world know it? How many people out there that are looking for help? How many of them are crying out to the Lord right now? And the Lord's trying to use his church to be the hands and the feet to get them some help, right? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Amen. Meanwhile, we're all still recovering from being victims of all this, aren't we? So we trust the Lord. I picked out some songs that I had on my mind all week when we sang here. And I picked out a few scripture that I've been having on my mind all week. You know, in case you haven't noticed, I've been a bit busy right alongside with all of you guys. And every now and then I'd sit in that desk and I'm like, at some point I'm gonna have to get some preaching ready for y'all this Sunday. But I tried to trust the Lord, and he's given me something to talk about, so that's what we're gonna do. Every time something like this happens in your life, whether it's worldwide or community-wide or just in your own home, if we're looking at the right thing, if we're looking at the Lord, we will see his goodness. We will experience his presence every time. He's faithful. It doesn't mean that we won't have anxiety, and it doesn't mean we won't have a little bit of fear, and even it doesn't even mean we won't have a little bit of doubt along the way. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will persevere. We will win. This will not be the end of us. Until we get into the presence of the Lord, we will see the Lord get us through. And I sleep every night because of those facts. I don't lose sleep over what the Lord's gonna not be faithful or not. I know he's going to be. I don't have no idea what he's gonna do today with us. I know what we're trying to do with him and what he's trying to do with us, but I don't know what's going to play out. And you know what I'm talking about. Every moment right now is changing for us. We could turn around and there's another person that we've never met that needs something, and we get to give them what they need. We get to tell them we love them. We get to pray for them, and we get to show them that Jesus is real. Right? It's exciting times, y'all. It's exciting times in the middle of scary times, in the middle of hard times, the dark times. Y'all, I don't have to tell y'all, when the lights were out at the house and I turned off the little bit of lamp that we had, it was pitch black everywhere. And it was troublesome. It troubled me. That kind of darkness troubles me. But it also makes me think about the spiritual darkness that people are lost in the middle of this storm as well. Y'all know there's people going through this storm that don't even know God. They don't even know that they can cry out to the Lord in the middle of their troubles and their anxieties. Pray about that kind of stuff. What we're doing here at the church is something that the Lord gives us, and it's so that we can do whatever he calls us to do so that people can know him. Just keep all that in mind. Very often, as I go through life and as I help others go through life, learn about God and grow, I often come to this particular part of scripture and this event that we can read about in Matthew chapter 14. I'm just going to read through it. There's not enough slides to, you can open up your Bibles and Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 22 to 33, very familiar to all of us who are Bible studiers, who are Christian and disciples of Christ, people who study the Word. This is very familiar. But the reason I keep going to it is because every time something happens and I read through this, every single time the Lord teaches me something else and reminds me of all the things he showed me before. All right? So let's just read through this, and then I'm going to do my best, y'all, to say what the Lord wants me to say and be done when the Lord wants me to be done, right? We got work to do. Verse 22 of chapter 14 of Matthew starts off and says immediately, is that right? Is that where I'm at? Yeah. It says immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, verse 27, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in verse 28, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, in verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." When I'm reading this and I'm thinking about the situation that they were in this boat at night, and there was this terrible storm coming up. It was a bad storm. It's bad enough to make these seasoned fishermen afraid in the darkness. And here's what I found out in verse 25 and 26. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. Okay, we focus on the fact that they were afraid, but guess what they saw in the darkness in the middle of the storm? They saw Jesus, y'all. How many of y'all saw Jesus throughout this storm that we just went through? I saw him every day. I saw him every day. I saw him in my neighborhood. I saw people loving each other, helping each other, feeding each other. I saw people giving each other whatever they had, sometimes sacrificing for someone else. I saw that in my neighborhood before I could even get out of the neighborhood. And then as I left the neighborhood, I saw it again all the way over to the church. And during that whole time, the entire eastern side of the United States began to love on us. Trucks and trailers coming up the highway. I saw Jesus in the storm. When we weren't sure who could be here to help, we weren't sure who's able to get out of their house and come and help be the church. People just started showing up, people we didn't know. People from other states, other counties, people from across the street, people from my neighborhood showed up here. I saw Jesus in this storm, y'all. And I look in your eyes and I see Jesus. The first prayer meeting we had, well, once we could get to the church, I told y'all, stay home and take care of your family first. Make sure you're okay. If you can get away, then come and help. If you need something, we'll come to you. And every time I turned around, Many of you were still here, helping whenever you could. I saw Jesus in the storm, y'all. I'm still seeing Jesus in the storm. Two little old ladies drive up in a van with a red cross on it every day. That's Jesus in the storm, y'all. I hope you see him. If you know him, you should see him. If you don't know him, you can still see him. He's there to be seen. He's not hiding himself. Here's what else I see in this story and what I needed to know and what you need to know. The first thing he said to them after they saw him in the darkness of the storm, he said, "It's me. Don't be afraid. Don't have fear, y'all." And I'm just going to tell you, it's a fearful thing, isn't it? When you don't know what's happening. You're standing at the window watching trees fall on your neighbor's house. Not knowing if one's coming on top of you. Not knowing if your neighbors are okay. Fear is there, isn't it? It's okay. God gave us emotions. That's what they're there for. Fear is there to let us know something's wrong and to be aware. But we got to see Jesus in our fear. We got to look at Jesus when we're afraid. We got to know that his presence brings peace in the middle of all of that. I will forever remember what it sounds like for a tree to fall when the winds are blowing. There's no one around for these disciples. They can't get out of the boat. They're just fellas. They're just in this water. The boat is the only thing they have keeping them from drowning in this storm. They're stuck there, just as we were several days ago. We're just stuck where we were. We couldn't get anywhere for a while. We didn't know how long. We didn't know when anything or anybody was coming at times. There's still people living that way today. And here's Jesus walking to him in the storm. Isn't it great, y'all, to know that we have a Savior that just walks right up to us in the middle of our storms? He walks right up to us and tells us, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Why is there nothing to be afraid of? Because he's the Lord. He's the creator of all of this. He's bigger than any storm that could ever come here. Work through your fears and your doubts. Leave them in the Lord's hands every day because he's got work for you to do. You got neighbors that need to be loved on. You got family that needs to be loved on. You got strangers that need to be loved on. I don't know how many people walk in the doors of this church this week dropping off their kids to volunteer, but they couldn't talk because their eyes are filled with tears. Because they're looking for Jesus. Neighbors came over, not even part of our congregation here, and they were overwhelmed with what God is doing here, how Jesus is showing up in the storm. Not just our church, every church out here, every group out here that's loving people in their time of need is Jesus in the storm, y'all. So when he said, "Do not fear," Peter cried out, didn't he? Peter saw Jesus, and he's like, "Hey, I want to be where you are." And isn't that where you want to be when things are dark and the wind's blowing hard? Wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be, y'all. And he cried out. He said, "Let me come to you." He didn't say, "Jesus, come get in the boat with." No, he said, "I want to be where you are, Jesus." And Jesus said, "Okay, come on." That's the, if Jesus were from the South, he'd come on. And when he said to Peter, "Come by faith," y'all, we ain't been gone that long. You know what we've been preaching about and teaching about around here for the last couple months. By faith, trusting in his Savior, trusting in Jesus. He took a step out of that boat and he started walking on water toward Jesus. This man was walking with Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, whichever way Jesus was walking, he was with Jesus. And it must have been amazing. It must have been amazing, the feeling that he must have had walking. He probably didn't even know he was walking on the water. He just had his eyes on Jesus. And all his fear went away. How many of y'all would step out of a boat, even if it wasn't storming? Not many, unless you're going trying to go swimming. You're not just going to have confidence that you're just going to stand on this water. He just stepped out. He just followed Jesus, y'all. And the fear seemed to go away until that moment. He suddenly realized, uh-oh, there's a storm here. Uh-oh, I'm doing something I shouldn't be able to do. And the storm got his attention, y'all. The waves got his attention. And he started to get fearful again. And he started to sink into the water. And once again, he cried out for Jesus to help him. And Jesus was faithful and he saved it. You see, that's the way it works. We serve the Lord every day, rain or shine, wind or calm, darkness or not. We serve him every day. And when the fear comes up, we cry out to the Lord. When the doubt comes up, we cry out to the Lord. We leave it there. We leave it in his hands. And we trust him. By faith, y'all, we live this life. By faith, we go out and love people. By faith, we love God by loving people. If we miss this opportunity to love people, there's something wrong with us, y'all. There really is something wrong with us. I'm so proud of y'all. I'm so proud of this congregation. You just keep going. You just keep loving people. And it makes me glad to be here with y'all. There was 11 other guys that were in the same storm. And they also saw Jesus. But they didn't give up their fears. The fear controlled their entire experience. There's going to be many people in the middle of the storm that we're living in right now that, well, the entire time that it lasts, until it goes away and fades away into history, and we all go about our business again, acting like as long as we're not dead, we're okay, and we've got all our life back. Those people will have experienced the entire storm with fear and anxiety and come out with a lot of problems because of it. But it's those of us who walk by faith, those of us who cry out to Jesus, those of us who keep our eyes on Jesus, we will see what he's doing and we will experience the blessing of God in this world. And we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Somebody's going to get saved because God is using this experience to get their attention. You get to be a part of that. I get to be a part of that. If we stay focused on what God is doing and not focused on the storm, we will overcome and persevere. And God will get the glory. Isn't that great, y'all? I walked up to a man a couple days ago right down the road. We were just trying to see what work needs to be done for some work crews that are coming. And he had his kids playing in the driveway on their little scooter toys or whatever. We walked up and asked him how the family was doing. And he walks up to us and told me his name and he said, "I feel so guilty." I said, "Why you feel guilty?" He said, "We've got everything we need. The lights are on, the water's working. I have no complaints. And there's so many people that are so bad off and I'm just sitting here in my comfort." I said, "Well, only thing I can tell you is come and help us go find those people. See if we can't make it a little better for them. Let everybody know that we can help them if they have need." I hope I made a new friend that day. Psalm 34, verse 4 is another scripture that came to my mind this week. "I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears." Nobody's expecting y'all to not be afraid. God's not expecting you to not have emotions. He's not expecting you to not get tired, weary, overwhelmed. He's not expecting that. He's expecting you to notice all that and say, "You know what? I need God here. He's trying to get our attention to say, I'm doing this, and y'all are just working for me. Right? And I thank the Lord for that, because if we were trying to do it ourselves, we would fail miserably. And it would be a pitiful circus around here. Right? So we're praising God this morning. We're praising Him for His faithfulness. We're praising Him for using us in such a great way. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus in this storm. Let's walk with Him in this storm. Only one of those disciples saw Jesus and got to experience what it really is like to walk with Jesus. I think when I think about that from time to time, it's like I don't really want to be like Peter. I just want to experience what he experienced, you see. Because Peter got himself in trouble. He talks too much. But he talked too much because he's passionate. His love for Jesus was off the rails. He just couldn't contain it. Notice when Jesus and Peter got back in the boat, notice it says that they all noticed that he is the Son of God. Everybody in the boat noticed who Jesus is at that point, and they all started worshiping him. Which is why I said we're having church no matter what today. We're having worship today. We have to worship our Lord. The only reason we didn't have it last Sunday, not because only because of the storm, but because we couldn't even get here. So we worship in our homes. I know y'all missed that barbecue last week, didn't you? I know y'all were dreaming about it. In case you haven't heard the story, I'll tell it really quick. We had two briskets, two pulled pork butts, and some beef ribs for this eating meeting here at the church for y'all. It was going to be amazing. Had it in the fridge, had it all rubbed up with some spices, and had it all brining for 10. It was going to be amazing. And then the storm happened. Storm happened and it was over. We all ran out of our houses, started cutting trees and pulling the older folks out of their home to make sure they're okay. And before I knew it, it was late afternoon, and then I had to take care of my own house, get the generator going. Praise the Lord, I got a generator. And then I got to thinking, I got all that meat in the fridge. And it's got to be cooked because it's thawed out. It's got to be cooked. So I cooked it. Long story, a little bit short, later that evening, about six or so, about 10 different families together come walking down the street, and they sat down and ate that barbecue at my house. People I didn't even know. They sat there and ate that barbecue all night. After dark, they're standing in my yard eating barbecue. In the middle of a storm, we're eating barbecue. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm glad they ate it because it's a lot of food, and I'm glad that it wasn't wasted. And here's the best part. I think some of y'all know this. Each one of them, and I'm not making this up, I'm standing right here in the pulpit. Each one of them took a finger bite of that pulled pork, put it in their mouth, and their eyes got big, and they said, "What church do y'all go to?" right then I knew, it's like, we got to have barbecue every Sunday now. We got to. But y'all, that's just one moment, one little moment. What I didn't know is, many of them ladies that were with that crowd would end up over here all last week, this past week. They're up here helping us get this stuff going. They're up here working hard, sweating. Brought their daughters up here to work. I get overwhelmed by the Lord and Him and His faithfulness and His presence here. There's people that have been around here that we've never met, and we've been praying to meet the neighbors. We've been praying to meet the people in the community just so we can love on them. So here we are. Let me give you this right here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8 is a powerful portion of Scripture for a lot of different reasons. This is just one small part of it. I want to read this to you and let the Lord have His way in your heart with it. This letter to the Romans, he's teaching about being free from the bondage of sin. He's trying to teach who we are in Christ. He's trying to encourage the Christian lifestyle. And in verse 26, he says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness." Praise God. Didn't y'all feel weak from time to time this last few days? It just moments of weakness. I can't. You think about all the people that need help. He says the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. I've been there a few days this week. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. God knows our hearts and our minds. You don't have to say words. He already knows how you feel and what you're going through and what you're thinking and how you're hurting and how your fear is and what your doubt is. He already knows what you believe about him. Just surrender. He's our Lord who loves us. He's here in the storm. And he says, do not be afraid. Let his Spirit lead you here. Verse 27 says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, y'all. The Spirit of God. How is it that God wouldn't know what's on our hearts? We have the Spirit of God in here, y'all. If you're saved, if you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God. He already knows. He knows how you felt before you felt it. He knows what you thought before you thought it. He knew how good that barbecue was before I cooked it. Y'all. Here it is. This is the icing on the cake for this particular scripture. Look at this. And we know, remember faith, Hebrews 11:1, we know it. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, amen. To those who are called according to his purpose, that's y'all. If you're a believer, that's you. You love God, that's you. Everything that happens on the planet, everything that happens in your life, maybe God didn't cause it, but he's going to use that for the good, for your good, so that you can be the witness, so that you can increase your faith and you can get built up and your doubts and your fears have a place to go and be dealt with. I guess I'll share this with you. When I was cooking up that barbecue with that big cooker in front of my house, I tried my best to stay next to that cooker so it looked like the smoke was in my eyes. I didn't want my neighbors to know that I was hurting. Right? That's just me trying to be a preacher, trying to help others, and you can't help others if you're falling apart. And I know that's not always true, but that's just the way I do it. When the Lord gives me a chance, I just go off and let him take care of me. It's okay to need help. It's okay to need recovery. It's okay to need some strength from God. It's okay to say, Lord, I'm weak. I don't even know what to say to you, because he's already working on it, y'all. You're already being healed, and you may or may not even know it, but it's already happening. He's already carrying you through. But just because the sun came up doesn't mean it's all over, does it? This is going on for a while, and it's all part of the same storm. I remember I was standing on the porch. I felt like the winds were dying down, and we had already ran out once. Me and the neighbor ran out once because the guy that lives across the street from me, 93 years old, who doesn't like limbs on his driveway, he's out there in the rain and the wind picking up limbs. I'm like, they're still falling down, dude. Come on. And we had to go over and tell him, like, let's wait for the sun to come out. And I come out and I'll help you pick them up. He goes, yeah, I think I'll take your advice. Trees are just going everywhere. And the neighbor comes running out. He's just like appeared right next to me. And I said, let's go check on them since we're out here. And we checked on the two houses that had trees, and then we ran back in, and I just stood on a porch and waited for it to stop as I watched the other trees come down. And here's why I'm telling you all this, because here's how you know the winds are over and the rains are going to stop. Because the little birds come out of their trees, and they start flying around, and they start looking for something to eat. And they just go right on about their business like nothing ever happened. I started looking at little squirrels running across the yard looking for their stuff they buried, as if nothing ever happened. And I sat back and I'm like, why is it that God's the most intricate part of creation can't do that. You know? And I know why it is, because we have minds, we have hearts. Squirrels and birds are just instinctful creatures. They just instinctively go do what they do. Well, then I started watching all my neighbors creeping out of their doors, checking on each other and loving on each other. It wasn't even 20 minutes. Somebody started up a chainsaw. I was like, I guess I better go get my chainsaw. And I went to get my chainsaw. And we were just there. Just like every other neighborhood. Just like every other neighborhood. My point is, we are created for God to be our Lord and Savior, so that we can go out and do what He created us to do, which is love each other. Just love each other. Let God do the rest. Let God do the rest. We were here, I forget which day it was. The first time we were here, whoever was able to be here, we had a little church meeting and had a prayer meeting for the first time since we could all come together. I'm almost done, I promise. We just sat right back here and we had to have this prayer meeting for whoever was here because we just needed to cry out to the Lord. And I used 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7 then. I'm going to read it again today because I hope it's going to be our theme for a little while. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And I just want you to know, y'all, not only does God love you, not only is God faithful and He's here in the storm, but we've been praying for a long time here at this church. We've been praying for a long time for God to help us get involved in this community so that we can just love people. We've been praying for God to help us figure out how to be the church right here. Not so that we can fill up the church with people, but so that people know that God loves them. And they know that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and that they need Him, and that they can see Him in their storms and cry out to Him. That's our purpose. If you think about all the things that we've been going through, at least since I've been here, and even before I got here, God has been preparing us for this moment. Every bit of us has been God preparing us for what we're doing right now. Everything that you're doing in your home, God has been preparing you for. Every time you get to love somebody else, God's preparing you for that. Everything that's led up to it. How many times have we been frustrated because we don't seem like we're doing what we want to do for the Lord? Maybe it's just me. But God's been getting us ready for this right here. It's time to love you. It's always been time to love you. But we've got so many people now, we're going to be busy loving people. And I pray that we just stay more out from other people. I just do. Because that's what God wants, and I know it'll be a blessing to you. He's prepared us for this time. He's given us what we need to do it. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's in this storm. All we have to do is look. And we will see Him. When we see Him, we'll cry out. And He will come. If you're like me, every time you turn the water on, praise the Lord. Every time you open up the fridge, praise the Lord. Every time you go to the bathroom, praise the Lord. Right? Lay your head on the pillow without trees making creaking noises. Praise the Lord. God is good, God. Let's stand together. We're going to sing against this. If you don't know the Lord, God's the day. I don't know how you can't see Him. He's right there. He loves you. He died for you. If you want to be saved, all you have to do is say you want to be saved. I want to repent of being a figure of God. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you get to go right on with us.